I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, just in case you didn't hear me the first time. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. Nico Harrison should be fired. He should be fired tonight. This is embarrassing. He should be fired tonight, the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks. And I do not like to be a guy that calls for other people to lose their jobs. You know, I've lost jobs before. There was a restructuring of a company, and I lost a job at one point. And there were other people in town that celebrated my demise. People that I had little radio feuds with. Oh, he shouldn't have been talking crap to me. Ah, that's what you get. I'm bitter. Oh, I'm still bitter. Celebrating my demise. Other people in this profession, joyous that I had lost my job. So I don't like to be guys should get fired. I don't like to be that. And this is, you know, a weird industry that I work in. I criticize sports figures and athletes and executives and coaches. And even though what they do is very, like, it is the rarest of the rare to get to one of those positions. It's not like, you know, there's more radio people that exist in the world than NBA general managers. And there's maybe less radio people that exist in the world than, like, teachers or doctors or plumbers or firefighters or whatever. So I don't want anybody to lose their job. I don't want to root for somebody to wonder where their next paycheck is going to come from or any of that. Or I don't root for that. Sports is a little different. That's the caveat in the setup here, is sports is a little different because a lot of times these people with these jobs, well, they are making a good chunk of money. A lot of them that get fired still get paid out a good chunk of money. Yeah, you can want a college football coach to get fired. Guess what? He can pay 6 years. He gets to do nothing and still make $40 million. One of the things with sports, is that, and not the athlete part, because I'm watching this Mavericks and Lakers game, and Luka Doncic had 45 points, and he got a standing ovation from the Dallas crowd, and the Lakers won with ease 112-97. Not a problem whatsoever, and I want to get plenty into that and the pregame tribute and what this all means and revisit how terrible the trade was. But the Lakers and Mavericks going final here tonight. Luka, right now, currently, as I speak, giving handshakes and bro hugs to his old teammates. And you can tell, like, he's with the Lakers now. That's his life, and he's competing for a championship. But he didn't ask to leave. He didn't want to leave this. This is his home. These are his teammates. He called them his teammates today, and then he had to remember to say teammates. These are his fans. This is his building. And Nico Harrison changed all that for him because the GM of the Mavericks didn't think that Luka was a guy that he could build around in the future, didn't think that he was a guy that was deserving of an extension, at least not a supermax extension, which any other team would give him. And more egregiously, didn't think that he was worth that much in return with a trade. Now, obviously, Anthony Davis came back, and Anthony Davis, somewhat of a, you know, he's a superstar. But just one first-round draft pick. Max Christie. I mean, the trade in itself wasn't even the best version of the trade that he could have gotten from the Lakers. So not only did a lot of people call for Nico Harrison to lose his job back then, but I think what you're seeing with these scenes now, and we'll hear from Luka, I'm sure, later tonight, but what you're seeing from these scenes now with Luka emotional, dapping up Patrick Mahomes, there's Mark Cuban. He never wanted to leave this place. And so he came in as a member of the team you traded him to when you, as the Mavericks organization, could have clinched a playoff spot tonight. They're still going to get in. The Suns are terrible. And the gap there is 3 games. So Dallas would have, I mean, the Suns are mathematically alive, but they're not going to get in. Dallas will. They'll have the 10 seed. This was a team that, let's not forget, the Dallas Mavericks were in the NBA Finals a year ago. They were in the NBA Finals. And the justification, if you could spin it, for Nico Harrison was he doesn't think that he was going to win a championship with Luka. Didn't think he was going to win a championship with Luka, whether it was this upcoming year or long term. And he looked at his team with Kyrie Irving and some other pieces and thought, if I can get a different big, and if I can maybe kind of change the formula of this team with Kyrie, with AD, with the cast, I think there's actually a better chance I could be competitive in the immediate future, years 1 and 2 of this deal, than I can with Luka. And I'm going to take the risk that we do succeed, because I will not win years 3, 4, 5, and 6. Luka's 25 years old. He's going to be playing for a long time. So what the Mavericks did was they got all the way to the NBA Finals with Luka Doncic, one of the best 5 players in the world, traded him, thinking that there was a better way to not only get back to where they were with Luka, but then actually succeed even further. Kyrie got hurt, so the whole plan blows up. Had Kyrie not gotten hurt, the best this team is, and we're talking post-Luka trade, is, and AD got hurt too, but the best this team is jumbled with the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, you know, Warriors as it is. And they're still not winning a championship with Kyrie, AD, and everybody else this season. They wouldn't have been good enough to do that. They took a risk. It failed. There could be some what-ifs because guys got hurt, but I don't think we need to stretch our brains too hard on those what-ifs. They made a bad trade. This is a bad trade. It was a bad trade then. At no point did we think it could turn out to be a good trade. And I think what needs to be the final nail in the proverbial coffin is Luka coming back, putting up 45 points, 7 of 10 from 3, 8 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals. You know, sometimes these guys come back, there's some nerves. Sometimes they come back and they just show out. And they showed out. And to make matters worse, like if you say, okay, well, sure, he made a trade, it didn't work. Nico Harrison brought in some other talent that got hurt, not his fault. Then they had to play the guy they traded with his new team in their building. They lost. Okay. He put up 45. Fine. If you're not there yet, you should watch the last 2 minutes of the game. Or at least up until the 1:30 mark when Luka came out. Because as Luka, you know, in the beginning, he was making shots and people are cheering him on. You know, they miss him. That didn't stop. Luka was getting cheered and cheered and cheered throughout the night. Luka, at point 45, gets a standing ovation from the Dallas Mavericks crowd. And they showed Nico Harrison. He was there. And there's a lot of personalities, and they're all there in one building. Rob Pelinka's there. He knows he screwed Nico over. Mark Cuban is there. He's been very outspoken about, this didn't happen on my watch. Luka's there, obviously the centerpiece of this trade. And Nico Harrison's there. And you can't tell me that there's nobody on earth, unless he's just purely ignorant and oblivious, and dare I say stupid, there's nobody on earth, nobody on earth that is thick-skinned enough to sit there for 2.5 hours to watch the guy you gave up in believing in scorch your team, to have the fan base of the team you're supposed to be trying to win for cheering for the guy rather than your team, to see the fire Nico Harrison signs that they let in the building because they weren't doing that for a while. I mean, that's got to be pure torture. You can't come out of that and think, I still made the right deal. You can't have any confidence that you made the right move, the right decision. You know, there has to be a better way for us as a species to admit when we're wrong about something. Because nobody will ever admit that they're wrong. They just won't do it. When you're wrong and you realize you're wrong, right before that thought gets it, like the thoughts in your brain, it's on this wire and then this other wire and the wires are trying to connect. And right before there's the thought dangling around that you screwed up, and then there's the other thought, acceptance of the screw up. Right before that, another thought dives in between you, those two thoughts, and says, double down on your mistake. Triple down on your mistake. Be more defiant. Use hypotheticals and what ifs. Blame other people. You were not wrong, sir. Don't let yourself admit it. Doesn't matter. There's 20,000 people screaming and cheering for a guy that you traded. So many mistakes here. The trade itself was bad. The timing of the trade, bad. The team you traded them to, bad. That you didn't get a full return from them, bad. That Rob Pelinka was able to take your doubts about Luka. Oh, he's too out of shape. He's not committed enough. Rob Pelinka knows what you think, spins that back at you, like convinces you to do the trade with him, giggles the whole way home that he was able to rob you, pun not intended. And now you've got all these fans who have been very vocal and very upset, paying big money for the first time all season to come watch this team, and it wasn't even to watch the team. It was because Luka was back in town. Luka Doncic coming back to Dallas, putting up 45 points in the Lakers, 112-97 win over a Mavericks team that's likely going to end up the 10 seed, have to play Sacramento, and if they lose, their season's over. And if they win, they'll play either a Clippers or Nuggets or Warriors or Grizzlies. Or I mean, they're not going to be playing come next Sunday. They're going to be done. And they made this trade for the immediate future. The only way that Nico Harrison can get out of this mess is if somehow with Kyrie coming back and Anthony Davis, if they win a title next year, and then the Lakers with Luka never win any. That's the only way out. Is that something you'd bet on? And if your job was to try to game this out and play this out, and that's the situation you put yourself in, should you continue to be employed in that job? Look, sometimes mistakes are just too great, and decisions made are too bad. And there's no turning back. There's no turning back. And that happens across the workforce in America all the time, where somebody makes a mistake and they have to move on. And they can land on their feet, you know, a different company, whatever. But there's only 30 of these jobs in the NBA. There's only 30 people that get to be a general manager. They get to make the decisions about who to draft, who to sign, who to extend, who to bring in, how to impact culture. There's only 30 people that get to do that. And if you make a mistake this great and you get to see it play out like that tonight, I'm not putting my faith in you as an owner. And there's the, you know, conspiracy theories that the owners want to tank and go to Vegas or build a casino or whatever. Then Nico's got to say that. Because he's going to lose this job. It's not just a decision that's so bad that keeps you from a job. It's like getting disbarred from law. Yeah, you're not going to be a lawyer from this firm. You're also never going to be a lawyer again. Okay? What you did, not only are you no longer a part of this police department, you can't enforce the law and order anywhere else. This will follow you. You can't be a teacher wherever you go. You got to do some extreme things to get to that point. And this, at the end of the day, it is just sports. It's not as serious. But in terms of the context of sports, it is a very fireable offense that should not allow you to have that job in any other team ever again. Crazy scenes. Luka very emotional beforehand with the tribute video. We'll talk more on that when we return. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
That's how it sounded in the arena where the Dallas Mavericks play. I believe it's the American Airlines Arena, but they might have changed it. No, American Airlines Center. Because the Heat play in the, well, now it's changed, but there was that finals and they both played in the, okay. So the American Airlines Center, that's what you heard, courtesy of ESPN, which had the broadcast rights for the game tonight. And it felt like, you know, they had their A crew there. It felt like a playoff game. There were certainly stakes at hand, playoff-wise. Lakers officially clinched, and they're just trying to stay a little bit above the fray. Because there's a bunch of teams in the West that could go anywhere from 3 to 8. And so the Lakers have a little bit of an edge over that. They have one less loss than a bunch of these teams. With the win, the Lakers are 49-31. Clippers, Nuggets, Warriors, Grizzlies, they are all 47-32 as of right now. Nuggets are in action against the Kings. The Warriors are in action right now against the Spurs. But coming into the night, a bunch of these teams with the same record, Timberwolves at 46 and 33. So there was a big Timberwolves lead that they blew last night to Milwaukee, which made a lot of those other teams happy as we finish down the stretch here. Typically, the NBA, these last couple of weeks suck because nobody's playing for anything. Everybody's hurt, and then teams are tanking. And it was kind of feeling like that, but this race in the West has really gotten tight and really gotten good. So we are actually getting somewhat of a decent finish in the regular season, which you don't see quite often. The East, not so much. A lot of stuff is settled in the East. The Bucks have a game Sunday afternoon, which I think would be a great time to take my kid to. But, you know, he knows, like, Giannis and Dame and Bobby Portis. He's going to have to learn, like, Ryan Rollins and whatever Nance it is that the Bucks have. And, well, Rollins been playing all right. But I don't know what kind of game we're going to see. The East, the teams have been kind of separating themselves. It looks like we're going to get Knicks Pistons as a 3-6 and Pacers Bucks as a 4-5. Still could change a little bit. They're not totally locked in there. But the West, much more open for grabs. And then there's the matter of, can the Suns crawl back? They're 2.5 games back of the Mavericks. They're playing the Thunder tonight. They would need to win that game to stay alive. The Thunder not playing SGA. And the Suns don't have Kevin Durant for this final stretch here. So it just seems like it's all over. But the credits right now for Phoenix, but still mathematically alive as of this current moment. So the big game tonight, it was one that we circled on the calendar as soon as we caught our breath about what this trade was that was actually real. Remember that Saturday night, nobody believed it. The Lakers come to Dallas and win 112-97. Luka Doncic with a nice video. And this is what's insane is he comes over, what, he's 18 years old. He gets drafted in 7 years, 25 now. Imagine going to, you know, college. Going to college, you're there for 4 or 5 years, whatever. And then you start in your own job in a different city far away against people you don't really know. And then 2 months later, you come back to your college and everybody's there. And then there's an emotional highlight video played for 5 minutes, basically about here's how you became a man. Let's watch you grow up. Here's all your accomplishments. And it's sports, so a lot of this is goosebump-inducing moments. It's not like, oh, there's the time I got a paper in on time. There's the time I went on a date with that girl. No, it's like, here's when you made a game-winning three, and 20,000 people, 5 of which are wearing your jersey, 5,000, are all going crazy. Very emotional. I mean, it's got to be an insane feeling. And he was emotional. We saw real emotion from Luka. Big time emotion. Then he hugged his Lakers teammates a little longer with LeBron, and then you have to get in and you have to focus like, I'm a Laker right now. That was then, this is now. He certainly did not take it easy on his old mates with the 45-point night. And the crowd made him feel welcome throughout. Made him feel welcome with the standing ovations. Cheering him along the way. Mavs fans walked into that building tonight knowing their fate in the playoffs is likely the 10 seed. They didn't come there to root on a team and will them into the postseason, perhaps. They came on there to pay respects, not just that, not just pay respects, not just pay tribute to, but to cheer on Luka against their team. They came to cheer on Luka. There's a lot of different ways that a star player can leave an organization. And it gets bitter and emotional sometimes. a war of words is said, I think of the Packers rooting for them and the Rodgers, you know, that got weird, but the Brett Favre, because Brett Favre retired, was gone, then he wanted to come back. And the fan base was split, like right down the middle, half wanting to move on, half wanting to go back to Favre. But that was even a guy that left on his own decision-making process and then decided his decision was wrong and he wanted to come back. That's one way to leave. You could be somewhere for a while and say, I just need to get out of here. I need a change of scenery. You can get traded when things are winding down in your career and the team's trying to get something for you. And you're appreciative of that guy, but you know it's in the best interest of your team to move on from that player. It sucks. You're going to root for him when he returns. But you understand that for him to continue playing, maybe it's a rebuilding process for you. There's a lot of different ways that a player can leave. The Mavs just made the finals last year, I remind you. And Luka's young. And they were looking forward to another Supermax being signed. And 5, 6, 10 more years of this guy who was uniquely theirs continuing to be theirs. We may not win with Luka. We got to a finals, but we want to win with Luka. This is our guy. We believe in him. He believes in us. Everybody in Dallas thought so, except for the one guy who has the decision-making power to change that, and that was Nico Harrison. And he traded him out. It was nice to see, but sad to see, really, a player that emotional and that affected as he was tonight. Because you forget at times that these guys are human. And players do move a lot. More now than ever. And to them, yeah, it's a jersey, it's a paycheck. To us, like, these teams get ingrained in our blood. They're ingrained in our families. They're ingrained in our friendships. They're ingrained in our way of life. They mean a lot to us. Our sports teams mean a lot to us. And we root for them. Like, at the age of 40, the teams that I like, how can anybody as a player ever match the level of love that I've got for my teams? How can they ever match that even if they're playing for my team? Luka was one of these guys that matched it. You get these guys and they grow up with the team and they go through the highs and lows. There are guys that can match it. There are guys that can love being a part of something as much as you love them being there. And Luka was one of those guys. And again, everything around this, like, this never should have happened. Luka didn't want it to happen. The fans didn't want it to happen. And there's so many layers to this. Like, the trade should not have happened. He should not have been traded, period. Also, when he was traded, they should have got a lot better of a package than what they got. Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 unprotected first-round pick? The Lakers able to hang on to Austin Reeves? Able to not have to add any pick swaps, able to keep their 2031 unprotected first-round pick, those things should have been involved as a starting point. And you traded Luka for a pick in 5 years, Max Christie, and whatever's left of Anthony Davis, who, by the way, played against his old team tonight. How did he do? 13 points on 5 of 13 shooting, and he had 11 boards. A complete footnote in this game. A complete footnote. A lot of emotions from the fans and Luka alike. I was going to say I would love to be in the head of Nico Harrison, the Mavs GM, but I wouldn't. I mean, the pure torture that that guy must have gone through. Unless he found a way to be completely numb. If he found something that he could have injected into his body, like there's no way you don't take some sort of substance to numb your brain. Because for 2.5 hours, you saw the guy you traded scorch your team. You saw the guy you traded for suck. Max Christie, by the way, also in this trade, 28 minutes off the bench, 11 points as well. You heard from a fan base that wasn't just chanting fire you, but standing ovation for the guy you traded. Like, how do you live through that? Brutal. Oh, I know how you don't live through that. You don't make the stupid trade in the first place. You don't do it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. That one of many games tonight with an update on the scoreboard and more. Here's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Tatum, two dribbles with the right, hangs in the air, runs it off the window and in.
The biggest voices in sports.
Towns fires away.
Bang! Carl Anthony Towns from downtown.
The heartbreak.
Grabbing his left knee. He's in some severe pain.
The celebrations.
But it's no longer what could be or what might be. Now it just is. The 2024 Boston Celtics are one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast, North America, Canada, I think somewhere in Mexico. Anywhere you can get us on the free Odyssey app. It is Wednesday, March 9th, 2025.
And obviously, we're on an up dog.
Cool. I know. What's up dog, Bart?
Not much.
All right. The obligatory joke is gone. Obviously, the big story today is Luka's return going back to Dallas to face his old club, the Mavericks. And we can revisit how stupid that trade is. And by stupid, I mean the worst trade of all time. Nico Harrison should be fired yesterday. But I don't want to shortchange that return. We will get some audio when Luka gets to the podium a little bit later on the show. So we'll actually switch gears here real quick. Bart, one of the most interesting things for me to come out, and I don't usually put the word interesting when I talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh.
But here is new head coach Liam Cohen. He says Trevor Lawrence is going to be on a pitch count during spring activities.
As we lead in, we're optimistic that we'll get there, you know, in terms of where we need to go. He'll be on a pitch count for those things in terms of the where he has to get to, because he has little touch points he needs to reach before he can obviously get out onto the grass and do it full speed. Everything's moving forward. He feels really good right now. So excited about that.
You know, they asked Liam Cohen how many throws Trevor Lawrence was going to throw in training camp. And he said, not all.
Duval.
They said, well, when he does get ready, what is he going to throw? And he said, the ball.
Duval.
And then they said, when do you think Trevor Lawrence will be able to throw a complete game? And he said, the fall.
Duval.
Oh, that's all off the top of my head.
Very well.
We didn't prep that.
I like it.
We didn't prep that.
Genuine applause. As a matter of fact, I just found the drop, so here you go. Genuine applause for you.
We didn't prep that. I want a little credit. We didn't prep that.
Well done. I like it. Let's see if you can keep it going. Here is.
You had the drop ready. I didn't tell you to have the drop. Oh, it was great.
The second I saw Liam Cohen on my cut sheet, I was like, oh, yeah, I did have that drop ready. So I'm glad you were able to squeeze that in there. Our obligatory Shedeur Sanders daily watch continues. This has to be a joke. We're a week away from April Fool's. Maybe ESPN personality Louis Riddick did not get the memo. I don't want to say personality because he's an NFL analyst, former general manager in the league. But Louis Riddick says he hopes Shedeur Sanders doesn't get drafted.
This young man is going to be just fine. And you know what? I hope he doesn't go in the top three picks. I hope he doesn't. And I think his camp would tell you the same thing. There are other teams that they want to go to.
He could be in a better
situation,
obviously.
That's what I meant to say, top three.
Oh, so you cut that off. Okay, that was the... I'm confused.
Yeah, he hopes that Shedeur Sanders slips.
Because the cut sounded like it got cut off.
Yeah.
Cut it off?
Yeah, I did cut it off, but also, you know, he wants Sanders to slip.
Because I was thinking, how much of this clip did you play? And then I thought to myself, not all.
Duval.
I mean, I understand what he's saying.
Do you?
Well, yeah. He was going to go to a bad team, with all due. He's either going to the Titans, which he's not, the Browns, or the Giants. What's the best case scenario for him out of those? Probably the Giants.
Probably the Giants, yeah.
By process of elimination. I don't know. Just be like, if you're the Browns, you've taken a lot of bad quarterbacks, and you have taken guys that were good in college and then did not execute in the pros, but do you just never take a quarterback again? Like the Bears, should they not have taken Caleb Williams? Because everyone says, well, Caleb Williams is going to suck if you take him to the Bears. I mean, they should have maybe taken Jaden Daniels.
Probably.
But I think either way, like, draft a quarter. You're going to wait till Brock Purdy's there? I get what he's saying. I still think Shedeur goes to Cleveland. And every piece of information, every mock draft you see, every odd that you see, every line, every article is that I'm the only one who's going to be end up saying this. But I think these teams are going to see what they've got, and you're going to take the swing at quarterback. I think they're going to do that.
Yeah.
If it's not him, I think the Browns. Travis Hunter seems more like a guy that the Browns would draft over Abdul Carter to me.
Which is pretty surprising, but you know what? You know, they paid Myles Garrett all that money. They figure, hey, you know what? That's the guy. Although I would draft Carter and have him opposite of Myles.
They told Garrett they know who the quarterback's going to be. And right now their quarterback's Kenny Pickett.
They don't know who the quarterback is.
So unless they're going to trade for Kirk Cousins at some point.
Right.
I think they told Myles Garrett, we're going to draft Shedeur Sanders.
All right. Well, then the Giants will just take the best player available on the board, and I'm not mad at that. Let's go to the association. Again, Luka is just getting to the podium. We will play some audio for that. But the Cleveland Cavaliers have locked up the Eastern Conference. They got the best record there right now at 63-16. Nobody can catch them. Boston's four games behind in the win column. They're 4.5 in total. So here's head coach Kenny Atkinson says it means a lot to clinch the number one overall seed.
I mean, I think you celebrate these moments, you know. We'll talk about going forward, what that looks like. But tonight we celebrate. I think the guys are super happy in that locker room. We are hungry for more.
I have been saying that we are going to get the Cavs Thunder final, that the standings have been indicated throughout the duration of the season. But I do want to reserve the right to still take the Boston Celtics to possibly win another championship. There is just something, the way that they came back and Jason Tatum knocking down like a 97-footer is about 25 feet, but the three he made last night to take the game against the Knicks to overtime, there is just something about that Celtics team that a lot of people are either going to say, because I keep saying if we get Cavs-Celtics, more people will take Celtics than the Cavs. And I think that's disrespect to the Cavs. But also, I think I'm in the camp where I would pick against the Cavs less because I think the Cavs will win, but more just because the Celtics can't keep getting away with this. But I got to think I got to be real with myself. And that's absolutely what they can do. And it's interesting. Cavs have gone on two different 15-plus win streaks. You know, they are playing at a clip that is very rarely seen in this league, but the Celtics still are, you know, they are the defending champs, and they don't really show any signs of weakness. There's a time or two where you might think, is this the problem here? But I don't know. They're coming in hot. They're confident in themselves. They know who they are. That's tough. That's scary.
Yeah. All right, let's get one last one in here. Let's go to baseball. In the young season, maybe I was a little too hasty to say 162-0 for the Dodgers was on the table. Because they're 10-4. They actually lost three games in a row. They were able to snap that loss streak today in a win against, who were they playing? They were the Nationals. And Dave Roberts, the manager, says winning a series finale can give you a boost despite not winning the series.
Never feels good losing a series, but when you win that last one to salvage it, it's not so bad. So I feel good going into the off day, and we're going to have a work cut out with the Cubs, and I'm sure they want to get a little revenge on us.
Panic in Los Angeles as the Dodgers currently sit at third place in the West.
Good.
Third place. That's right. The Padres are 10-3. The Giants are 9-3. And the Dodgers are 10-4. So a half game back, but a worse winning percentage than San Francisco. So I don't know. Do they become sellers at the deadline? I think it's too early to say that.
Maybe they trip. Maybe they flip Shohei Ohtani and get back Max Christie in a future pick. Maybe Anthony Davis.
They've got four losses now. How many do they have at the end of April? Six?
Five.
Ohtani's thrown in the pen. Oof. Just a little blip. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.